listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 225 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, a.k.a. Cuckoo.
And I'm Paul, a.k.a. Retroid.
This is the second attempt to record episode 225. There was an attempt made the previous week. However, there were sound quality issues, which meant that that's gone into the editing bin, pretty much.
When
it comes to editing and whatnot, bins is actually a different thing.
That's true. Okay, it's gone into the trash. It's gone into the
trash.
Yeah.
Been set fire to and burned.
And no one wants to see our junk.
This week, as we said in some social media announcements, we aren't doing the specials that we've been planning anymore because we were finding them freaking boring to do. As we've also said, we've got a new recording day, which is Thursdays, which means the episode should be going out no later than around, Monday the following week anyway.
Depending on how busy you are. Because this isn't my day job.
I think we've missed the tide on making a podcast a fucking day job.
Wait, there's people that do that?
Yeah.
And it's not Kevin Smith?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, but then the amount of running around, it's like the YouTube situation, only a little nicer because there's less algorithm involved. But yeah, so this week we were
probably fewer Nazis.
I wouldn't be so sure, unfortunately.
Look at those Nazis listening to podcasts.
And making them. They might not, because the thing about it is that unlike a video file system and having that display easily on a website, audio files are a lot easier to put on a website and host yourselves in comparison to video.
True.
So even if it's not on iTunes or something, like, they could easily have it on a website somewhere. You know. Unfortunately,
yeah. It's simple and easy enough for idiots like them.
Yeah, might be
and us.
Appalling quality in terms of audio and content, but yeah, it's easy to do. Anyway, that's not what we were here to talk about this week. We were here to talk about instead interesting moves by Dropbox, and then a wider look at relying on cloud service providers for things in your life. So I had this lovely experience. It was, a week ago Sunday. There I was about to try and do some writing on my Linux Mint Lappy. Poor little thing. That once upon a time used to struggle with Windows 8.1 on it and now runs quite speedily thanks to a Mint install because it doesn't kill the resources available in the system. And it happened to have Dropbox on it. And I used that to sync my writing folders between all my devices.
Okay. Crazy.
Absolutely fine. You've been running that for years, and Dropbox have been supporting Linux since something like, 2007. You know, absolutely fine. And then they had this weird little notification pop up in the bottom of the screen. And I was like, eh? What the hell was that? No, don't spoil that for me yet.
Okay.
I was like, what the hell's going on there? And all I saw was Dropbox move. And then, admittedly, notifications on Linux can be a bit pernickety, I managed to accidentally clear the notification before I had a chance to really read it. So I was like, well, what the fuck's Dropbox move? So I Googled it, and the first thing I came across was this long support thread on Dropbox's forums from the 10th of August from someone going, what the fuck? And it was basically like people realizing that Linux don't want people to basically have Dropbox. Dropbox doesn't want Dropbox installed on Linux systems if it's basically on an encrypted drive. Pretty much.
And you would think that they would like encryption.
You think, but not on your own hardware. On that, you need to trust their their hardware, their end-to-end, you know, you gotta trust that, man. Not yours, though. And it was just like,
you can't have your own security.
Yeah. Because I've done a bit of travel, like, my hard drive and my little laptop is encrypted because it's a small laptop that's easy, in theory, actually, to lose. Not through being stolen, just because it's tiny.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why would I want people to have easy access to the bloody thing? I wouldn't.
It's true.
And you know what? It's been working bloody fine. You know, for... When did I do the... Rewrite the thing? Was it 2015? I put Linux on there. It's certainly been more than... It's been at least 2 years now. You know, it's been working absolutely bloody fine. And obviously, Linux systems have been working fine with it for...
Yep.
Years. And obviously, like, it's encrypting your hard drive in Linux is more of a, it's a feature that you get offered when you do your installs normally for your ISO. So it's just like, well, what the fuck? As I spent about, I don't know, rather than writing, I spent a ridiculous number of hours trying to look for a solution because it was kind of like, okay, so they want EXT4, but they don't want that encrypted. How easy is it to partition an already encrypted hard drive? Not easy. In fact, maybe quite impossible. But would I want to have to reinstall my whole fucking system and not encrypt any of it or partition it and then keep Dropbox on the unpartitioned bit specifically? And I was just like, this is fucking ridiculous. And so actually I started looking around for alternative providers, and I have to check with Retroid in DMs. And a couple of our pals who lived down here with us, who are also techies, sort of like pCloud seemed to be a reasonable solution. I mean, I'm going to talk to my tech pals next time I see them, just to talk about the potential for partitioning. But the thing is that I wouldn't be so annoyed if it weren't for the fact that I pay for Dropbox, because I do have enough files on there that's worth doing. And it's just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, it's the what I use for automatically backing up my photos from my phone. And it's like what I keep docs on. Like, I have physical backups of docs, but it's been able to get at something when I'm not on my usual device if I need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which can be quite handy. And it's just like, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, like, this is ridiculous. Like, the service currently, what further improvements can Dropbox really make? And it's like somebody suggested on, I think we'll thread on for like the register, going, oh, it's because they don't want to test all the shit anymore. And it's just like, well, really? Because they've been doing pretty freaking fine so far, you know, without issues. And it's, I don't think anyone's like clambering to make a million different distros of Linux these days. Like, I feel like, I mean, obviously there are a load of distros of Linux, but like, I don't feel like there's a crate, you know, it's not like people are going to use Dropbox are probably pretty kind of clustered around a set few, if that makes sense. Like, anyone who's going for the more obscure distros of Linux, probably when it comes to their file solutions, they're either going to be using way different independent providers, or they've set up their own file server. You know?
Yeah.
I doubt they use, I mean, because it's like, what, if people are using, one of the big ones is Debian, and obviously, like, Splinter's from that. Can't remember what the other, Retroid, do you know?
Well, there's, let's see, there's, you know, Debian, or, you know, as we say it, Arch, there's, you know, various flavors of Ubuntu.
Yeah, but then Ubuntu.
Kubuntu.
But then Ubuntu, like, comes from Debian.
Yeah.
So.
There's a few, but I've got now you've asked me, they're just going out of my head because I tend to just use Linux on Raspberry Pis and, you know, little ARM computers like that. So, you know, I know of Mint. That's one of the, the more popular ones. But, yeah, everything's kind of clustered around there's Debian. That's got a standardized system to it. It's a lot better than it used to be. It's a little bit less fragmented.
Mm. But
so in other words, you know, there's less excuse about we can't possibly test all these different things. It's easier. It's easier than it was.
Yeah.
So
it's really pissing me off, and it's like, I think because I've gone for pCloud for a minute. And the thing is that my writing files are my least critical files. So obviously, the advantage of something like Dropbox is there's two-factor authentication.
Yep.
And I do like that feature for some of us. Not necessarily hugely personal files, but at the same time, like,
you want something secure there,
yeah,
don't you?
Whereas, unfortunately, something like pCloud doesn't necessarily have that, which is frustrating. So, yeah, at least I'm making physical backups as well for a minute for my writing. But it's just like, massive inconvenience. Obviously, again, kind of like, cloud services, they can be shit actually when you think about it, blah blah. Why are they doing that? Is it really a money issue, or is it actually a bit more government leaning on them? Your NSA lot, kind of going, or just like just general freaking national security lot just kind of being like, FBI and whatnot kind of going, oh, we're fed up with encrypted shit. And so, like, because, like, you could, like, crack, well, open up blah blah for us on your end, but, like, if they've done stuff and the end, you're like, oh, it'll be encrypted on blah, and I'm just like, what? What exactly? And the thing is, like, how is this different to, like, somebody who's obviously, I mean, I'm assuming when you encrypt hard drives, it operates a bit differently between operating systems in terms of Linux versus Windows versus Mac.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you can encrypt hard drives for those systems as well that only obviously open up, like, and I haven't seen anything coming up so much about it for it affecting Windows or Mac users. But of course, you know, they're going to be business users of Dropbox who do use Windows or Mac, who, as of the fact that they are business users and have information on that, like, they encrypt that as a standard business practice, those hard drives. Like, what?
I wonder if there's something in the Dropbox terms and conditions that say, don't use this to store these kinds of files, because, you know, if something goes wrong,
we will not be held responsible. It will not be down to us.
I mean, there's bound to be something like that, because I can't see a company offering a service like, you know, cloud files and not having something in there to cover the backside.
But also, like,
yeah, definitely.
But also, what if you've got Dropbox on your phone? You are storing, because you can have that option to have the files on your phone, but you also, certainly with Android, have the option to encrypt your phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but it might not be the encryption thing. It might be, oh, they don't want to test all the things. But then they're saying it's more about file types. And the thing is, though, is that unless you've been really weird when setting up, like, most installs of Linux, in terms of, like, certainly in Debian and that, like, some people say, oh, yeah, but the rarer file types make sense. But it's, like, technically, my laptop's still EXT4. It's just the only difference is the hard drive encrypted. You know?
Yeah. It's, I can only think that one of the primary reasons, you know, for this happening is, as you say, they're being lent on. And it seems like they're looking for distribution. Because they'll cover things like, you know, email attachments and, you know, web hosting, stuff like that. And they probably thought, well, hang on, you can have a shared folder in Dropbox.
Mm.
Wouldn't it be nice if, you know, we just lent on them a little bit and just said, hey, could you do the thing?
Yeah.
Because who knows, maybe they've, come across, especially with Dropbox, because you can very quickly share a public link. You know, you can make a file public on it.
Yeah.
and just say, hey, click this, and you'll get this completely legitimate thing that I'm just hosting privately for some reason.
Yeah.
That's true.
But yeah, I just think it's the fact that I obviously have I got the file type that they're talking about on there, but the difference is that my system's, it's encrypted. It's just, like I'm using technically what they want, but there's that level of encryption.
I've noticed that there's various outlets now that seem to be not just like with Dropbox for your backup clouds and other things, but there's other software out there that seems to be dropping a lot of support for other OSs, and they all seem to be trying to concentrate on one or two operating systems only moving forward for some reason.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, they seem to be trying to specialise rather than doing a all for one sort of thing.
But wait, pardon you.
Sorry.
sorry about that, guys.
That's what I think about that issue.
Oh, okay. Cloud providers.
Yes.
Relying on them for shit. Google, obviously, in the past year, because obviously Google Drive isn't a popular option because it obviously comes free with.
Yes.
Google and now, you've got your Gmail.
And you've got your two-step authentication as well. Yeah.
And,
which is nice.
And you've got all those free apps as well, all those productivity apps for free, which you get for Google Drive.
Yes, Google Docs, which is actually quite good.
Yeah. But the thing is that, was it last year, year before last, but they, really started pushing not having certain types of content on drives, on Google Drive. And I remember that, legitimate, owners or creators of porn and stuff basically got, messed over with that.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly callback if they had obviously visual or video imagery, even though it was their legitimate copyrighted material, and it affected performers a lot. You happen to be using it. So technically the law of their countries, proper business owners, they just happen to work in the adult entertainment industry. I think it was a case of there was a law that changed in the US, which was to do with stopping human trafficking, which killed the thingy boards on Craigslist, the missed connection style boards that they had, and various things, because they obviously didn't want to, even though it might necessarily have been used for that, they want to get caught up in that, understandably.
Because most of these laws are drafted by people who, I'll say they intend well, but they tend not to listen to the people who are on the front line of, what's going on. So they're a little bit catch-all.
To do anything about how the Silk Road got dealt with was about the closest they got to deal with anything with the dark web pretty much ever.
And that was probably an accident.
Yeah.
To be honest.
So.
Because bad things are bad, but not all things that, some people might think about are actually bad.
Yeah.
Is just about the best I can do with that.
But, it's the whole, putting data in the cloud, but with the amount of devices people have nowadays, it's having that
central hub.
Where
everything just goes to one place.
Yeah. I think people have got used to the idea. It's like with me. I'll be using Twitter on the computer. I'll shut that down and then I'll pick up my phone and I can reply to someone who's just sent me a Twitter that I've read on the desktop. And it's that kind of, you've got everything's like, it's kind of a service now.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, the idea of having files, which you want to be accessible in multiple places, but they're kind of locked into that one device, it's starting to feel a little bit strange.
Yeah,
it's it just feels natural that you should have access to them.
It's a bit like for me. It's a bit like when MP3s came out. originally.
Mm.
But you'd still have CDs. Yeah, you'd still
remember
buy CDs.
Them.
Yes, you'd still go out and buy CDs and listen to your music on your Walkman and stuff like that. But now, it would feel absolutely alien to actually put a CD in a CD player.
I mean, I like doing that with old games, but that's because I'm an old bastard.
Cartridges especially. Yes.
Cartridges? Get out of here, you posh bastard. I'm talking about tapes. But yeah, it just seems speaking of it, that was related. What I was doing a while back was that I've got things like game collections for old machines
mm-hmm.
on my Google Cloud account on Google Drive.
Yeah,
and if I'd have it. It was slightly complicated because I wanted one which was just the pure games, and then I wanted another one which would sync my saves. So what I ended up doing was that Google Drive was the games,
mm-hmm.
so I could sync that over, say my Raspberry Pis and my Android device, things like that, and then because most of the emulators were based on the very similar code bases. If there was a snapshot or a save game file or, like a battery backup, that kind of thing, I would then sync that using a different cloud service, like, say, OneDrive.
Mm. Mm.
And I'd have that, synced on there. So, in other words, if I, if I was playing a game on my phone using physical controls, I should point out, because I'm not a heathen. And then I, turned on the TV and I'd have my HDMI Android stick
yep.
plugged in. I'd switch that on and it would boot up and it would instantly say, oh, there are, files that have been changed in the save folder. Yeah. So it would then sync them using OneDrive. And that way, of course, if there were any games that had an updated version, like a bug patch or, something like that, which happens with old games because
yep.
fellow old bastards really care about these bug fixes. So they'll fix something that was broken 30 years ago. Definitely. Just so they can say that. And then, of course, that updated version would get cloud synced across my devices. And then the save files would be as well. And it was nice because it's all the... it just feels seamless, but you've got these files accessible. Mm-hmm. And of course, that was just me being a picky bastard with my entertainment.
Yeah.
So, for someone who's walking around and using various devices for work as well, then I can see how that would be a very important thing. And I don't get, again, why they wouldn't allow syncing from encrypted devices.
Yeah.
It just seems utterly counterintuitive to me, which is why I think, there must have been a leaning.
Because the thing is that obviously once you're logged into the system, the drive isn't encrypted. And that's in theory when Dropbox is active.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so what the hell?
Seems like
an excuse.
It does feel, and that's the thing, they've done a very poor job of explaining their reasoning. They're like, oh, we need to be able to do this particular thing, which we haven't detailed on that. And it's just like, well, you haven't really detailed it. Like, and you've not really explained your rationale because it only seems to really be picking on mostly Linux users. Like, I haven't seen any other operating system groups complaining.
Yeah.
And I get not supporting a huge amount of, like, but then that's the thing, like, Linux software is a bit patchy, and not people who do bother to make stuff for Linux, they don't support everything, and obviously you might have to make your own freaking installer and shit, do your targe, how do you pronounce it, do all that yourself rather than having a nice little installer. It's like, what the fuck? But I think it probably rankles with me because unlike probably the majority of Linux users affected by this, I'm probably one of the few that does pay
Yes.
For Dropbox.
What are you saying?
I just feel a bit kind of like victimized a little bit. It's just like, I've been paying for this service for years, like, and this is then how you decide to treat my, you know, custom.
Yeah, it's just, I've been paying you, and you decide, nah, bollocks to this.
Yeah.
I bet they don't even realise which platform you're using, to be honest.
Actually, no, they only emailed people who, whatever the permissions their fucking shit has, they could pick up that I was one of the people affected by it. And they and they did mention the install that I had. So they knew about my operating system and that.
So, yeah.
It's like, oh, great. Thanks, guys. Like, yeah. I really don't get it. But also just, like, if we consider popular operating systems based off similar kernels that also can have encryption, Android's right up there. So I don't understand what the difference exactly is for them for sort of the mobile versions. I'm not saying obviously that Android is Linux, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's got that family.
It's related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. So I don't know, but it's not making me like rush back to like Windows for like an operating system anytime soon, just so that I can use Dropbox. You know.
Gotta have that Dropbox.
Because I like having a thing that I can turn on, boot pretty quickly, and just get on with shit. Whereas if you've got a tiny system running Windows, it just.
I've tried using a netbook with, you know, Windows 8, and then, you know, maybe Windows 10 is better with this. No, it's not.
Like, I keep looking at the slightly newer versions of, because it's a HP Pavilion. It's the smaller one that they do. And it's got, you know, its newer relatives, which have obviously got 10 loaded in on there, but still the same amount of shitty RAM and hard drive space. So you're talking like my thing's got up to 2 gig RAM and 32 gig hard drive. It doesn't have much. And obviously it's like a little Celeron processor. So it's like you don't really want to run anything. I mean, because obviously because it was Windows previously as well, like I had to have antivirus on it. And even though I had ESET, which isn't too much of a resource hog, it still struggled, man.
I bet it did.
So, yeah. But Paul, what do you think about relying on cloud service providers and then them changing the game?
Well, to be honest, I think relying on cloud anything is a bad idea because in the end, you know, you kind of want to own your stuff. You don't want to house it somewhere else and, you know, worry about it being, like, say, for example, with the Apple hacks that happened the other year, where it was
the iCloud. Yeah,
the iCloud, where it was basically the problem is that there's another place out there with your stuff in it, and you can't control virtually anything about that apart from your own access. I think, yeah, I can see the point of the cloud. But by the same token, I think maybe there's an over-reliance on it.
Yeah, and certainly, I suppose, in today's day and age, with certain nation states getting really pissy about what people have on computers, and perhaps a little too prying.
Make encryption great again.
Yeah. What was it? Is it the Australian government's got their own fucking data bullshit laws trying to come in at the moment? And they were basically talking about essentially breaking encryption. Like, nobody'd have fucking encryption. Like, they'd gone a step or two further than our own Digital Economy Act bill, whatever, had been trying to propose. And it was just like, what?
Part of the problem is that you have lawmakers and basically politicians that try to get involved in stuff that they don't know anything about, and because they've got the legal system behind them, tech companies are like, well, our hands are kind of tied, even though we disagree with this immensely, and it's kind of dumb.
I mean, it is the equivalent of government saying it's okay for everyone to see you take a fucking shit. That is the equivalent. When you say you don't like end-to-end encryption, you say, what, everyone can watch everyone shit and piss, and it's absolutely fine. What the fuck, guys?
To be fair, though, I mean...
How do you feel about this, Emily?
I feel really badly about this.
Strongly.
Yeah, very strongly.
It's just, you know, if you're really human, then what have you got to hide?
I don't want anyone see me take a fucking shit.
To be fair, there's probably people out there who'll be like, ooh.
Is that why it's called Dropbox?
It could be. It could be. But, you know, that is, you know, and I hate how lawmakers are like, oh, but the terrorists. It's like, look, the terrorists are either using the dark web, dead drops, freaking text messages.
Usually text messages with no... Or very little code words.
Yeah.
You know, like, have you got the thing? Yeah, I've got it. When are you going to drop it off? I'm going to deliver it such and such a time. And someone somewhere, and, you know, they're either going to have to be extraordinarily paranoid to catch up, you know, things like that. Or they're just going to think, oh, they're ordering pizza.
The simple fact of the matter is that with any good form of policing, it's about having people connected with the areas where there's a potential suspect activity, working with communities, having actual policing going on. But, you know, cutbacks. Tech can solve all their problems. Blah, 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 motherfucking blah, blah. Sorry.
And everyone I know who's got any tech knowledge or works in tech, the moment you say, you know, government legislation or privacy, you know, act, they just sort of turn white.
Mm.
It's just, yeah, it, what was one, it, you know, saying pretty much, you know, imagine your most clueless uncle and then suddenly give them the legal power to, you know, make any law. So, you know, when they come out and say, why haven't scientists done this so that you can just see inside other people's fridges? And you think, that's a stupid idea. And you go, oh, no, shit, they're actually president or whatever.
Yeah. Or prime minister.
Yeah.
Or in charge of the Home Office while a whole load of this legislation was happening.
Yeah.
Fucking Theresa.
For once, it's yep. Not me.
But yeah, so I'm sorry, but people shouldn't be allowed to watch other people without their consent taking a fucking dump.
I mean, as analogies go, that's
pretty much that, it.
That's up there. Yeah.
I have used this analogy in a professional context in order to explain HTTPS to people beyond my station, you know, in a work context. It worked really well.
Just as long as once you've done taking that dump,
mm-hmm.
you wipe your hard drive.
Of course. But yeah, it's just frustrating. It's just like, this is not... Like, it can be used for a degree of organisation in that, but if you get rid of it for everyone, they're just going to move on to old-fashioned methods, like, because we had terrorists before the internet. What? Not sure if anyone noticed that. I mean, unless, of course, that shit that was happening, unfortunately, over in Northern Ireland last century and still to this day was a figment of all of our imaginations, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't. And that was not organised using the internet. At nope. all. In fact, for a good portion of it, it wasn't even organised using mobile phones.
I mean, admittedly, the one yep. thing about gun nuts that I do agree with is that if somebody wants to kill somebody else, they will find a way to do it.
Yeah.
Whether it be driving through crowds or whatnot. And, yeah, I don't agree that, you know, Oh, that means that gun should be legal.
And unfortunately, a simple, not simple, but a part of me feels it's not just, they're not just thinking about protecting us at the end of the day. Actually, the government do want to be a bunch of nosy fucking bastards sticking their trotters in where they shouldn't. And just, you know.
It's about control.
You know, yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's not about freedom, it's about control.
And it's disgusting. Quite frankly. It's like people have got a right to privacy.
If there's one thing that always, always comes up with government is that they will always want more information.
Yeah.
Because information is power and they want the power.
But the thing is that the, like, a whole chunk of the time, though, certainly with the kind of volumes of information that we're talking about, they have not the means to sensibly process it anyway. Or store it in a safe manner that doesn't mean that either a bad actor from another government, within the government, outside of the government, but in this country, blah, 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 doesn't somehow gain access of that information, and then actually they know who to use it against and how to deal with it, and then they go and do something terrible with it.
Yeah.
And of course, if you haven't got encryption, you could have Russia been able to see how everyone's taking a fucking dump.
Well, without encryption, you could have anybody viewing anything, including basically bots as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just, it doesn't matter if it's your files, your banking, how you're doing, paying for your bills. And, you know, I mean, it's bad enough for, yeah. It's just, I know we've talked about this stuff before, but basically, I like encryption. I kind of like cloud service providers as well, to an extent, for ease of access, but I do believe in keeping hard copies and also having two-factor authentication enabled on cloud service providers, because a lot of the... Which, did iCloud even have two-factor when all that shit went down?
I don't know. I long ago deserted the eye thing ship.
Yeah. I mean, or even stuff like sort of like YubiKey. Is it YubiKeys? That's another thing as well now. We have to have a physical USB device slotted into the device before you enter a password, so that there's actually evidence of your physical presence.
Ah, it's a bit like when I use like Pro Tools and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I have a USB drive.
Yeah, but it's sticking
in.
Yeah. Mm. But it's more universal. And actually works with things like phones and stuff as well.
Oh, nice.
Google, in fact, is, I believe it's, that's, well, they've got their own key thing, but that's pretty much where they're getting most of their, all of their employees to use now, instead of, like, relying so much on passwords.
That was good, because passwords can obviously be hacked and whatnot, so...
I mean, obviously, and the issue is that in order to have like the ideal length of password that takes forever to hack, that you would know that there's an issue that someone might have stolen it and you can change it in time, blah, blah. Like, those kind of passwords aren't the kind of things that you can really remember from memory.
Mm.
And you might be able to remember one, but then you'll want to use it for everything. And you're not meant to do that.
I think it was just earlier today that I read that several hundred people in the Australian Parliament or in the Australian government, whichever way you look at it, who used password 1234 as their password.
That reminds me of Spaceballs.
Awesome.
Yeah, what's your password? Password. It's just... Jesus Christ. The number of times crap like that comes up, even what a US TV or some news organization in the US showed one of their monitors, and it had a post-it note with username and password to get into their system stuck on their side. That was a few years ago, but it's just, Jesus Christ.
It's fantastic. It's so reassuring, incredibly reassuring.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we should talk. We've actually almost run out of time to really talk about anything else. We'll just see what the time is, guys. We've been moaning for so long. It's been a while. It's been a while since we had a good moan.
Definitely.
So.
Well, we can just do a very quick what we've been doing, what we've been watching, or something.
Yeah, everyone has to pick one thing. And Cookie has to go first.
It has why to be me? That way.
Why?
Why?
Why pick on me?
I don't know. I just felt like there's just a lot of things to do.
One thing. I have been listening to the Return of the Doctor's Daughter that Big Finish have just done with the original actress who played Jenny in the TV show.
Nice. Mm.
Yes, only one story in. It is a bit of fun. It's nice to have her back, and it's nice to see what she's doing past the role in the David Tennant episode. It's really good so far. There you go. Done.
Okay. Retroid, can you be as succinct?
I will be very succinct. I have been watching, we have been watching Doctor Who, the Angels episodes, and the River Song episodes, and now we're watching most of the last season with Capaldi and Bill. So we're enjoying that. I have also been watching Rick and Morty. It is good.
Yay!
Yeah, I finally got there. Finally finished season 3, and it's season 4. Oh, God damn it! we watched Orange is the New Black.
Yay.
And those seasons never quite seem long enough. Or they stretch the story out for too long over the period of 13 episodes. But either way, it's just can they do the next season now? But that's the same with pretty much everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's it, as succinct as possible.
Paul,
I've been Breath of the Wilding.
Yay!
That's Zelda.
What difficulty are you playing on the master?
Yes, because when I went to replay. Mm. It was like, oh, do you want to delete your save file? Like, no, I don't want to delete my save file. I want to create a new one. Ah, you can only have one save file.
No. Oh,
but there is a master difficulty mode. You know what? Fuck it, I'll do it.
You found it really tough though, haven't you?
Yes, because the enemies regenerate health.
Oh.
And sometimes quite fast.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. So,
I mean, that's not the only difference. Obviously, the enemies are generally beefier and they hit you far harder.
Mm.
So it is a bit of a... But
awesome.
I have, thanks to the help of Dave Internet, because this show is only available to Canadians or Americans who have Hulu.
Selfish.
It's like about as hard to find. There's no legitimate ways of watching it. It's about as hard to find as decent maple syrup. But actually, it's worse to find than decent maple syrup. You can buy maple syrup in British supermarkets if you're ready to drop a tenner.
What is this program? This mythical content.
Letter Kenny. It's fantastic. It's by Crave TV, but it's from like a comedian who I think had a web show prior to it being turned into like a proper full series. I've had 5 seasons. We finished watching the 5th season before recording. We're watching it whilst like after work and exercising since like the weekend.
Day.
It's set in a rural bit of Ontario, in the fictional town and surrounding countryside of Letterkenny.
Well, it's fictional in the sense that there's presumably no Letterkenny in Canada.
No, but there is one in Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they obviously play off the idea that, in theory, that the town has got Irish heritage, like you were saying, settled by Irish people. And it's just fantastic. Like, if you have any inkling of what goes on in any Western rural location, it's like, it translates so well.
And it's not actually, most programs, when they kind of deal with something that's rural, they play on stereotypes and, you know, this idea that, oh, the country bumpkin is an idiot and doesn't know much and isn't very well skilled or anything like that. And it kind of doesn't do that.
No.
I feel, anyway.
Also, there are puppers and doggos in the show. At reasonable intervals, cute things. Wayne, who's kind of like the main protagonist that you kind of film most, like the I think most of the A storylines pretty much revolve around him and like his closest friends and one family member. But mostly kind of it always comes back to him, and he's kind of like he introduces episodes as well, his character.
Cool.
But there's a lot of fighting, hell of a lot of swearing, drinking, and beautiful Ontarian dialect in the sense that there's a lot of slang and stuff, and just playing with language. Like the show does a big thing about playing with language, and it's fucking amazing. One of the reasons I've probably sworn more than most episodes. Obviously, I usually have a high swear episode ratio when I'm on the show. But it's because there's just so much swearing in the show.
It's not and like I've been every watching, other word,
I,
though, is it?
No, but I would say almost every other scene that some form of swearing happens. And I do wonder if that's why it hasn't been picked up in the UK. Because even if you showed it after the watershed, you'd have to show it probably post 11 p.m. Just... but
Netflix
I feel...
could pick it up.
Oh, yeah, Netflix could pick it up. Netflix should pick it up.
To be honest, they've picked up worse.
Yeah. I think the rest of the world deserves to see the joys and delights of Letterkenny, which has only been going since 2016, but has 5 seasons. But they are about 6 episodes each, and there's one that's got 7. Cool. Yeah, it's so much fun. So much fun. But yeah. Well, that's all we've got time for this week. So it is good night from...
It's good night from me. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night for me, Paul, aka 100_cookie on Twitter.
It's good night for me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as @PaulBlewett.
And it's good night for me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find Nerd Assemble on Twitter at Nerd Podcast, and you can find us on Facebook as Nerd Assemble Podcast. The website's nerdassemble.co.uk. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening. Speak soon.
Yes. Night.
Good night.
Good night.
Have a nice day.
To be fair.